Hello, hello, hello! Before we begin today's episode, we have a listener limerick. If you, too, would like a definitely terrible and very silly limerick written for you and read out on the show about an arguably PG-13 topic of your choice, you, too, can go to ko-fi.com/backagainpodcast or click the link in the description to jump directly to the page. This one is for Wonderful Nat, about flower crowns. A collection of daisies in line. It's sweet, but it also takes time. For you, though, it's clear, I'll do it, my dear. So long as you make one that's mine. Thank you so, so much, Nat. And on to the episode. Back again, episode 26. The boy that could change everything. We were asleep, Leander and I, back to back in our tent for the first time in weeks. A month had gone by, after Callia's birthday, after our success, a whirl of organizing a strategy and organizing what to say, and trying to seem like maybe we could pull this off. When the longest night came again, we were supposed to mate with the Laird and all of the others she had gained for our support. We had to find a way to convince them we could pull our own weight before then, and we had to convince them that we could stop being slaughtered when the time came. So sleep did not come easily, surely because there were always so many things to do. Convince the villages, build our numbers, move around. Now, because the steady stream of people delivering supplies and coming to join us after our parade through the Laird's territory and the propensity for that sort of thing meant that the main camp's location was hardly a secret anymore, and that was dangerous to our survival. We had three camps now, along with the outposts set up around villages, outposts that the kings still hunted, but when sleep finally did come, it crashed into us. This was one of those nights. Leander, asleep. Me, asleep. Callia, still fighting off exhaustion, trying to do three more things before she consigned herself to rest. It was late. It was early. It was, maybe, just after midnight. Leander woke up. They bolted upright and I stirred to waking beside them, eyes half-lidded, still out of it. They stared down at me. Their eyes glowed gold. One hand snaked through mine, curled my fingers into a fist. They were completely, completely still. "He's here," he said. "He's here, he's here, he's here." "I do know how this will end," Leander sang, some time later. It had taken too long to calm them down. I say calm down, and by that I mean snap them back into a state of agitation, of permanent movement, because for them, the stillness was scary. It took even longer to find Callia in the camp. Leander's fingers were itching. Then, pulling at bits of loose embroidery on their quilted vest, but they wouldn't take their loot until Callia appeared. "I won't be able to stop," they said. "There is a song that's building, there is a song that's building. I will not be able to stop." I dragged Iolo and Rhea from their bed to sit with Leander while I tracked Callia down. It hadn't taken her but one look at my wild eyes, the way my hands were radiation gold with magic, to drop her plans and come running. Leander had picked apart nearly an entire flower from along their hem by the time we got back, and they scrambled to put their instrument into their hands. "I do know how this will end," they sang. Again, with no cohesive rhythm or accompaniment to the words. They plucked out the strings like they did their clothes. They gasped and choked on the words. But there is not just one way through to completion, because Rhysaea is not without mercy, and it is not without magic. There is more to this story, and there are more players still to enter. And they went still. And then they sang. Listeners, Rhysaea is not without fail-safes. I should not have kept this from you as long as I have. But we've talked before about spoiling lives, even if they are our own past, and I didn't want to mention him. Not until I was ready. After all, how do you make it back to this world from Rhysaea? You die. How did I make it back to this world? I died. I was killed by the boy. The long and short of it was, there was an asterisk, I suppose, to my coming. That in case I chose the wrong side, or in case I died too early on, in case there would be another. Who would come, who would bear the magic, who could turn the world, or write it, or keep it as it was. We called him the boy. The boy that could change everything. I say it again, just as a way to try and convince myself, still all these years later, it does make sense, because Rhysaea is always a place of balance, and for me to exist without being part of a matched set puts the world off kilter. For just as, by the end, Io stared daggers at Leander and Cassian looked to Callia with that sure and terrible knowledge that they were competing for the same role and that only one would survive to fill it, I mean. Cassian and Io were still down a soldier. And the magic must always balance back out. That is what I have to believe in, more than anything else. If I am back here in this world, I have to hope that he is back here too, that someone killed him after he killed me, because if the two of us, magic soldiers, were gone, then we have fulfilled this story foretold. That isn't even selfish. That's just me hoping that my people are okay. But back in the moment, it was almost frightening. It was the first time that a vision hit, because now all of the major characters were in play, and Rhysaea was so righted that it could just deliver shocks to Leander, make them not just a storyteller, but like the poet of old, a prophet, a prince. It wouldn't be the last of the visions. We all got used to them as much as we could, but they drained Leander, made me wild and Callia anxious. All of us thrummed with the magic, because the boy had come. They'd maybe dreamt it, but none of us were stupid enough to dismiss it as a nightmare. The boy, Leander said. He will come from far away, and he will be able to take the magic. They did not say wake, like I had. They did not choose use, or will have, or will be able to access. They said very distinctly. Take. Silence. We all stared at them, then stared at each other. Kalia hissed out a breath.
Not again,
she said, but there was something close to breaking in her voice.
We're so close.
Yolo, out of all of us, found her head first.
Does he know?
Rhea blinked, stupefied and still sleepy.
Who? The prince,
Yolo hissed.
Cassius Rex. Does he know? Is it in your book?
All of the pieces came together in Rhea's head, and she cursed, a lovely 12-syllabled thing that was just as defeated as it was musical.
I don't know.
This was not good enough. It was lucky that Yolo had reached that conclusion first. Yolo loved Rhea most, and Kalia would not have been so kind in how she asked. It would have been an accusation, even if she hadn't meant it as such. That was Kalia's way. Pendulum, two extremes, trust and love against the paranoia that had kept her alive. We stared at Rhea. She strung out another curse. She elaborated.
There is a chance that it is in the old book. There is a chance that they faced someone similar before. There is a chance that the girl we know as the old Elhida was the failsafe. There is a chance that only one of the two were found. It was less certain than the magic. There was still more of it.
Kalia had stopped listening after that first phrase.
What do you mean there's a chance? It means I don't know,
Rhea snapped.
It means I was still a servant and there were always things that I was not allowed to see. When I read from the book, it was never without the supervision of one of the kings. I was a servant. It was ancient and precious. I read from copied over pages unless I was reading beside Cassian. I held the thing in my hands less times than I have fingers. Because they kept secrets, I finished.
A memory wormed in the back of my mind. I'd asked Cassian once to look through the book. He'd snapped a rejection back at me with the kind of fervor that didn't come without something to hide. A secret like that, a secret that said you have a spare, maybe even a superior, and your contentment here depends on you fancying yourself irreplaceable and a savior, was one I didn't doubt the prince would keep. A secret like, if you don't cooperate, maybe I will have someone come along and steal the magic from you, was one Cassian would love. Why would I ever have learned that?
Elias, Kalia prodded.
I would bet on him knowing, I said to Kalia. I could not tell you if he has realized the boy is here now, but I would bet on him knowing. It was Yolo's turn for a curse, musical and long and harmonic to Rhea's.
The Laertes, Leander said.
Their voice felt disconnected, floating somewhere else above us.
Even Nokea is not a fool. She is optimistic, but no Laerte will back us if there is someone else with magic.
Kalia and I locked eyes. I remembered her saying, "There's your danger." And I remembered the promise I had made her and made myself. He would not back down. I would not back down. If Cassian had the boy, and the boy had magic and I had nothing, we would be right back to where we began. and I didn't believe that the Queen would let any Vatikina Elhida, regardless of how they looked, slip through her fingers twice. The magic would be enough for her.
We have to find him, Kalia said. I still walked.
But if he touches me, he could take...
She cupped my face hard between her hands.
I will not let that happen.
If that is what it takes, I will kill your boy. I stared back into her eyes.
And I will kill your prince, I said. For Isaiah. For you.
For Isaiah, Kalia repeated. For you.
Back Again is written and produced by me, Abigail Eliza. If you're enjoying the show, please consider leaving a review on your podcast platform of choice or supporting Back Again on Patreon at patreon.com/backagainpodcast, where you'll gain access to bloopers, annotated transcripts, episode sneak peeks, and more. If you'd like to hear more about the show, visit us on Twitter, Instagram, or Tumblr at Back Again Podcast, or on TikTok at Abigail Eliza Writes. Our outro music is Nightingales by Pierce Murphy from the album To Japan and is licensed under an attribution license. The song was retrieved from freemusicarchive.org. Visit the description of this episode for full copyright information and a link to the page. Sound effect attribution, similarly, can be found in the episode description. If you've made it this far, thanks for sticking around. Please remember that you do not have to fill your days with action and creation to be worthy of the space you take up. You were made already whole. The light-soaked days are coming. Promise. I hope you have a wonderful day.